Well, ladies, welcome back to the table. We are in our Bible study segment already, and our teacher, Connie Stanfill, is with us again today. Connie, welcome back.
Thanks, Amy. Good to be here.
I'm glad you are here. Today, we are learning about false teachers leading others astray, and that's actually the title of our Bible study lesson today, lesson number 37. Again, you can find that at naomistable.com under the Bible studies tab. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 17 through 22, and then Connie is going to teach about it. So here we go. These are waterless springs and mists driven by a storm. For them, the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved. For speaking loud boasts of folly, they entice by sensual passions of the flesh those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them to never have known the way of righteousness than, after knowing it, to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow in the mire.
Thank you, Amy. This is a sobering passage because it speaks to these false teachers who know truth about God, but it's not real in their life because they don't live it and they leave the true way. And so it really speaks to the fact that they never were saved and didn't truly know Jesus Christ. Peter has, again, very descriptive language about who they are. And so we're going to talk through it. In verse 17, he said, these are waterless springs and mists driven by the storm. And truly, if you think about a waterless spring, that would be, if you're in a desert and you see what should be an oasis and a spring and you get there and there's no water, what a disappointment. Mm. And you might die because you've gone for something that's not really there. Or the idea of a mist driven by a storm. And in the area of Palestine, which is a very dry area, rain was very important. And so if you saw a cloud, it should deliver rain. If it doesn't deliver rain, well, then it's just a vapor and it's no good. And so that's what Peter is saying about these people, is that they are hypocrites. They promise something that they don't have. They are leading you in a way that's the wrong way. It's the way to condemnation. He says, for them, the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved. And so they're condemned. They will receive God's righteous judgment for their actions. In verse 18, he says, why? It says, for speaking loud boasts of folly, they entice by sensual passions of the flesh those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. And Peter's talking about, again, how in their arrogance and their loud words and their way of life, they are baiting or trapping or luring people away from the way of truth through the passions of the flesh. And they're saying, no, that's okay. You can do that. It's fine. God doesn't care. And then they also say those who are barely escaping or literally trying to escape from those who live in error. And so it's for those people who are starting to maybe understand the truths of the Christian faith, haven't yet been born again, but are vulnerable to being pulled away into another way, a way that seems easy. Truly, Amy, I think it's the broad way.
Yeah, I think you're right, Connie. And unfortunately, there are many, many false converts, and we've met a few. I've been one before for many years before being born again. And that's hard. It's really hard to have your eyes open, but I'm so glad the Lord did that.
Yes, because then Peter talks about how it is that we're actually set free from sin and come to the truth. Because Peter then says in verse 19, they promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. And he says, for whatever overcomes a person, the person is enslaved. And the idea again is we either belong to God, or we are caught in sin and in ourselves. And Jesus taught about this in John. He talked of what it meant to be slaves of what was not right, or to be slaves of God.
Yeah, that's in John chapter 8, and you can pick that up at 34 through 36. Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed.
Right, and that is true freedom, is to be in Christ and to have our sins, the penalty for our sins, taken care of and to have the power of the Holy Spirit now, today, to live a life that pleases God. Paul wrote something similar in Romans 6:16, and I think we've read this several times on our program already, but it's a word we need to remember. It says, "Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness?" We know that Jesus really wanted us to be free, and that's why he came and died for us. But unfortunately, these false teachers that Peter is talking about are leading people the wrong way. He goes on and he says in verse 20, "For if, after they have escaped the defilement of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ," and so now he's talking again about that special knowledge, they know what the message of salvation, they are again entangled in them and overcome. That means entangled in the world, the last state has become worse for them than the first. And so he's really speaking about people who could tell you the gospel, they could tell you the content, they may know scripture really well, but they actually haven't repented of their sins and trusted in Christ. And so that's why they're returning to the world, into the world's way of living, and that's why they're denying the master and living lives that do not reflect God, because they actually don't really know God. And then Peter goes on and he says, verse 20, for it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. And then he references a proverb from the Old Testament, and he says, "What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow in the mire." We have a few other scriptures that talk about this same idea of being accountable to what we do, and after we've learned the truth of not living it, we will be called to account. One is in Luke, which I'll have Amy read, and it talks again what Jesus says, that we are accountable for what we know. And if we've heard the gospel, we are accountable to God for that.
Yeah, this is in Luke chapter 12, talking about the servant. "And that servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they have entrusted much, they will demand the more."
Yes, and so there is a responsibility to knowing to do, having received the knowledge of God. And if we've been given the gospel, we are accountable for those gospel words, and we will be judged. In Hebrews, the writer there tells us also again about those who perhaps may turn away from the true gospel after hearing those words, and maybe even joining a church and being part of a church, but actually truly not knowing God because their lives are not changed. Amy, if you'd read that Hebrews 10 passage, that would help us.
Yes, this is chapter 10, verses 26 and 27. "For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries."
Yes, and so once again, we keep hearing about how God rescues the godly, he judges and condemns those who are against him, and we need to be careful that we hold to and continue to walk with Jesus Christ and be part of that truth. In our lesson today, in the homework lesson, there's a few scriptures to look at that, again, talk about how we hold to that truth and correctly handle the word of truth, and to make sure to examine ourselves to make sure that we're not being hypocritical and that we're not allowing ourselves to continue in sin when we know that's not what God would have us do.
All right. Ladies, if you would like to download this study guide, this is lesson number 37 titled "False Teachers Lead Others Astray." It's right out of 2 Peter and our verse today in chapter 2. So you can download those lessons. You can also download just this 10-minute conversation that we're having so that you can play this for ladies around your own table or for yourself at a later time. And we can go through the study again together. It's a great way to do that. There are many different ways to study the Bible. We've made it pretty easy for you. When Nancy and I come back, we are going to be looking at this a little bit more and talk about maybe some examples of how you can apply this in your own journey with Christ. We will be right back.